You have reached the Every Little Thing helpline. Please leave your message after the tone. Who called the helpline? Who called the helpline? Who?
I could not sleep last night because I had Justin Timberlake running over and over in my head. My question is this morning, how do songs get stuck in your head and how can we get them out of our head?
Hello.
Hey, Shelby. It's Flora from Every Little Thing.
Hi, Flora.
You said you had a Justin Timberlake song running over and over in your head. Are you a big JT fan?
It's kind of a newfound love.
Really?
Yes.
You just dropped in for his later years.
I did. Like, I think I remember some of like his really, really early stuff. And then my daughter, I have two kids, and about a year ago, she was really into the movie Trolls.
Mm-hmm. Is he in Trolls? Is he a troll?
He is. JT is a troll.
I'm going to Google this. Justin Timberlake troll.
He has blue hair and wears like a leaf vest, I think.
Oh, and he sings.
Yeah, that's him. I got that sunshine in my pocket. Got that good soul in my feet. I feel that hot blood in my body when it drops. This is going to be stuck in my head the rest of the day.
So Trolls got you into JT.
Yep.
And JT led you to ELT.
Because I was laying in bed for like 3 hours. I could not sleep. And it was this stupid song. I'm sorry, JT, if you're listening to this.
What song was it?
Say Something.
Do you want to sing it for me?
No.
Okay, is this it?
Yeah. This is the part that gets stuck in my head, caught up in the middle of it. But it was just like the same two lines over and over and over. I even tried like turning on British Baking Show, like something to get my mind off of it. And it was still like, I turned off my show and it was still there. And I was like, oh my gosh.
Does this happen to you a lot?
Yeah. I almost constantly have a song playing in my head.
Really?
Yeah.
This is going to be a fun show for you.
Thank you for that.
Are there songs that get stuck in your head that are really a nuisance for you? Like ones where you're like, please, not this one.
Baby Shark. Baby Shark is like the bane of my existence. Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. This is literally torture. Baby Shark. Which is why I'm calling. How do I get this out of my head?
We are here to help.
I would love that.
Let's start with a diagnosis. So, Shelby, your condition has a name. You caught an earworm.
Oh.
And I just want to send you a picture. It's coming your way.
Okay. No, no. It looks like a literal caterpillar.
When you get a tune stuck in your head, what's really happening is that a tiny larval worm.
This is not true.
Has crawled into your ear and is singing its nesting song.
This is disgusting. I don't believe you.
You're right.
Flora, stop it.
I feel like I got you a little bit. Earworm is a real term, though. There's just no worm.
I'm with you, and I feel a lot better.
And we found someone who can help with them.
Hi, Shelby.
Hi.
Elizabeth Margulis is a cognitive scientist and musicologist. She's an expert in songs getting stuck in heads. And earworms fascinate her.
Earworms are a really tantalizing case because they're so common. About 90% of people report experiencing an earworm at least once a week.
You're not alone.
That's good to know, I guess.
Yet, it's not a kind of phenomenon that tends to occur for other types of stimuli.
Smell worms, taste worms.
Exactly. Right. Or like you don't get, you know, something your friend said to you stuck in your head in quite that same way.
And not all songs get stuck in your head. So what is it about certain tunes? Elizabeth said there are a couple factors.
One is that they tend to be relatively easy to sing. when you have something stuck in your head, you're quasi-simulating singing it yourself, right? You're like imagining through singing it. So when it fits kind of neatly into a vocal range, that can be helpful.
Shelby, does that strike a chord?
Yes.
Two, earworms tend to be repetitive and predictable.
Oh my gosh, no.
The earworms are going to be competing for space today, Shelby.
Oh, I know.
So it's repetitive, but it can't be so repetitive that you're bored.
There has to be some kind of thing you catch on that's a little bit unusual.
Take Baby Shark, for example.
No.
Each time they do the chorus, someone else sings it. Daddy Shark. And then another factor is how much you hear the song.
I mean, we do know that one of the things that makes something likelier to stick in your head is when you've, well, heard it recently, but also when you've heard it often.
And once you've been exposed to an earworm, almost anything can awaken it.
That's one of the intriguing things about earworms, actually, is that they can be triggered pretty obliquely by seeing a picture or something out of the corner of your eye, and then later you have a song whose lyrics related to an object in that picture that crops into your head.
Okay.
Did you say something?
Oh my gosh.
Okay, so that's what makes certain tunes more likely to hatch into an earworm, but also some brains are more likely to be infected by them.
There's the music, and there's also everything you're bringing to it.
And Elizabeth says you can measure your risk of getting earworms with a test called the Absorbability in Music Scale.
That aims to measure just how captivating music seems to you in general.
Shelby, I think we should test your absorbability. What do you think?
Sure.
Okay, so we're going to send you the test. It's just a questionnaire, and we'll just look at a couple questions together.
Okay. I will sometimes move my hand as if I were conducting music.
Is that you, Shelby?
Oh, definitely. Orchestrated music, definitely. And like piano music, oh yeah, yep.
I just have this vision of you, like, out with your kids, just at the mall, like, using both hands conducting.
Okay. I have done that with my kids, though. Like, I've tried to teach my daughter and my son. I'll have them do it with me.
Any of these other questions jumping out?
Number 5. When I feel that nobody understands me, I often turn on some music. As a teenager, that was, like, my life.
I sometimes see vivid images in my head when I listen to music.
Yeah.
There are times I will do nothing except listen to music.
Yes.
I sometimes close my eyes so I can focus on the music I'm listening to.
Yes.
Okay, so scale of 1 to 5, how absorbent do you think you are?
I'm probably going to say a 5.
Yeah, you seem like a 5.
Yeah.
This may explain why you're earworm compromised.
Yeah, I have like one a day.
Besides musical absorbency, you're also more likely to contract an earworm when your mind isn't working too hard. So a student in Elizabeth's lab did a study about this.
What she did is she had people listen to some songs that previous studies had shown tended to trigger earworms, and then had them complete a low attention task.
Like going to a meeting or something?
I mean, depends on the meeting, but yeah, it could be.
You're making me think of a lot of times when I do get things stuck in my head, and it's usually when I'm, like, doing the dishes or cleaning. Yeah, things I don't have to think about.
So she had people just kind of doing this task where they followed around a dot on the screen with their mouse, and that triggered earworms in something like 70% plus of people who came in and did the study.
Whoa.
Okay. How do you get rid of your earworms? I know that's why you're really here.
Yeah, that is.
Couple suggestions. First one, you can try to dislodge your earworm with another song.
Mm-hmm.
Second one, and I think this one's going to surprise you. You ready?
Yeah. Blow my mind.
Chewing gum.
What?
Yes.
Wow.
So apparently you can dislodge earworms in many cases by chewing gum.
That's so weird.
Okay, so here's the thinking.
People have thought about this idea of the phonological loop.
This is speculative, but the idea is that when you have an earworm, your mind is going through the motions of your mouth singing the song.
If you start chewing gum or doing something with your jaw area, you're disrupting that.
Chewing gum disrupts those imaginary mouth movements, and the earworm is short-circuited.
Whoa. I'm probably going to go to Target right after this and buy a whole bunch of gum.
You'll need it after this show.
I know I will.
Yeah, I'm sorry that we seeded you with so many earworms. Is there a song you'd rather us leave you with?
Yeah, actually, before you called, I had Ticket to Ride by the Beatles stuck in my head.
Do you want to hear it again, or do you not want to hear it?
Oh, I would love to hear it, please. The girl that's driving me mad is going away. She's got a ticket to ride. She's got a ticket to ride. She's
Are you conducting right now?
I'm tapping my foot.
That's a good one to have stuck in your head.
Yeah.
I'm not going to mention any immature sea creatures right now.
Oh my gosh.
I'm not going to talk about any canines.
No.
I'm not going to say something.
Thank you for that, Flora.
I'm just going to leave you with Ticket to Ride. Thanks, Shelby, for the great question.
Thank you, guys.
Up next, we are going from the songs that you can't help but remember to the memories songs won't let you forget.
I was like, okay, once she hears this song, she's going to totally understand that, like, this song is going to unlock everything.
From earworms to earworm holes. That's after the break. A couple weeks ago, we asked you to call in and tell us about a song that brings you back to a particular moment in your life, to a moment that you'll never forget. And things got a little raw. So if you don't want to hear cursing, now is the time to click over to a different ELT episode. For everybody else, here we go.
Hello?
Hey, Emily, it's Flora from Every Little Thing.
Hey, Flora.
Okay, so set the scene for your song.
So I was 14. I had been dating, as much as 14-year-olds date, this guy for a couple months.
What was his name?
Eric with a Q.
E-R-I-Q.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that was not his birth name. He decided there were too many Erics in his sixth grade class or something, and started going by Eric with a Q. And I thought it was so cool because I was very impressionable.
Okay, so 14-year-old you is dating Eric with a Q. What happened?
He called me and was like, hey, I don't think this is working out, and here's why. Just listen to this song and you'll understand.
He was breaking up with you via song?
Yeah, and that song was Crosstown Traffic by Jimi Hendrix, because he was really into classic rock. And I'm pretty sure I listened to it, like, while he was on the phone. To this day, when I hear that song, I just, like, shudder and recoil.
Can we, are you okay if we play it?
Oh my God. Yeah. Okay.
You seem excited.
I'm not excited. I'm, like, cringing so hard. You just let it. Yeah. Still suck. It's like literally comparing this girl to traffic. Like, slowing him down, and he's just trying to get somewhere, and this girl is the hindrance to his journey, and it was very rude. And I was just like, what? What's happening? Nobody had ever broken up with me before. I was 14, you know? I just wish I had stood up for myself.
Well, I think there might be an opportunity now.
Oh, God.
Let's play Eric with a Q a song.
All right.
Anything come to mind?
God. Like, I'm trying to think of, like, the most, like, badass, fierce, feminist song, and nothing is coming to me.
Okay, well, this might get us going. This might just get the juices flowing.
Okay. Perfect. Yeah, that's so perfect. That's just, like, even though I haven't seen him in over 10 years and I'm, you know, happily married and have a family, I still hope he feels that in the universe somewhere.
Well, I hope he's listening.
Thank you. That's amazing.
Hello.
Hey, David, it's Flora from ELT.
Oh, hey, Flora.
Okay, David, take me back to the moment when you first heard your song.
Sure. I mean, I was like 12 headed on a 13. And my older brother was like a real jerk, just totally would torture you if you took his shirts or his albums or anything. So I only had like an hour after school before he got home.
Mm-hmm.
So that was like the hour I would rummage through his music.
And how old was your brother?
He was 18.
Okay, so way cooler.
He's 6 years older than me. Yeah, yeah. He, you know, I learned all my music and stuff from him, but I had to do it covertly because he was like the typical torturing older brother. He never let me do anything, so I had to like sneak it behind his back.
Okay.
So I grabbed just anything I could find out of my brother's room. It was just totally random that I would pick this Led Zeppelin record called Physical Graffiti. I didn't know what it sounded like. I ran up to my bedroom and I laid down. I had bunk beds at the time. I laid down on my back and I was just staring at the ceiling while the tape played. And the song 10 Years Gone came on. So I'm laying on the bunk bed, just staring at the ceiling. And the sound is like so pretty and I'm just kind of letting it happen, letting the music wash over me. It's a beautiful day. And then suddenly the guitars and bass kick in with a chorus, and I'm really not expecting that because you're waiting for the vocals to come. Usually it's always the vocals come next, but instead we get this. And now I'm like, what's happening? I'm starting to perk up. I'm no longer laying down. I'm kind of sitting on the side of my bed. But the key moment is when the drums kick in. Are you able to fast forward to that part?
Yeah, hold on.
Okay.
Okay.
Woo! You hear that groove? And I was just like literally just jumping off my bed. I'm on the floor just like staring at the radio, cranking it. Can't stop moving. This is amazing. Now, I have had a crush on this girl, Liz Naldi, for like 2 years in middle school. We were close, but I was kind of like her ducky.
Yeah.
You know.
Pretty in Pink reference. Love it.
Exactly. And you know, I was in love with her and everything, but we were just friends. And I was like, okay, once she hears this song, she's going to totally understand like me. She's going to get life. She's going to understand that, you know, we should be together, the whole thing. Like, this song is going to unlock everything. So then I just run out to my 10 speed right away. Keep in mind, I only have an hour until my brother gets home, and then he's going to freak out if he sees I took his tape. So I throw it in the Walkman. I'm listening to the song. I'm cranking it on my Walkman, riding my 10 speed across town to her house. I'm going no-handed. My whole body is just like in flight as I'm listening to this song. I get to her house. I run up to her bedroom. She's like, hey. I was like, just listen to the song. You have to listen to the song. Sit down. She sits on the bed. I go to her tape deck. I put the cassette in.
Though the course may change sometimes, rivers always reach the sea.
So I'm just standing there watching her listen to the song. The drums kick in. It's the moment of truth. And she literally just looks at me and says, I don't get it. And I it was so funny how literally my 2-year-long crush just ended in that moment. A snap of the finger. I just said, okay, I popped the tape out, jumped on my bike, put in my Walkman, headed home to return it to my brother's collection before he noticed. And I knew, like, I no longer had a crush on her. That was it. We were done.
Hello?
Hey, Laura. So tell me about your song, Set the Scene for Me.
Sure. I was coming out of a divorce. I was about to turn 30, and I had sort of casually been dating this man named Jacob, and I had asked him if he would be willing to watch the dog that I'm now sitting next to on the couch.
Why did you need a dog watcher? Where were you going?
I was going on a personal gift to myself for my 30th birthday. I was driving down to Asheville, North Carolina for a little solo weekend.
Like an Eat, Pray, Tie-Dye?
Like an Eat, Pray, Tattoo. So, yeah, so I was driving to Asheville, and he showed up so I could show him, like, okay, this is where her food is, this is where I take her to the bathroom, all that sort of stuff. And he's like, yeah, I got it. And he was like, oh, also, I made you this mix CD for your drive.
Mix CD.
Yeah.
You're putting me in a time and place.
Yeah, really cool. So I didn't listen to it the night before. I was like, okay, that'll be like what I put on first thing. It has like 27 songs on it. And so I was through Connecticut, through New York, and in New Jersey when, In Spite of Ourselves came on.
She don't like her eggs all runny. She thinks crossing her legs is funny. She looks down her nose at money. She gets it on like the Easter Bunny. She's my baby, I'm her honey. I'm never gonna let her go.
That song came on and I was like, oh, maybe he thinks about me in like these unique and funny and not always kind, but the way where you see someone for who they are and love them for it, you know? Maybe he like sees me as someone other than just this girl he met on Tinder who's going through a divorce.
When was the last time you listened to it?
Oh, I listened to it this morning. And I listened to it last week when I listened to the mix CD he made. Last weekend was a big weekend because he asked me to marry him on Saturday night. So Sunday, I definitely had to listen to our song a couple of times.
In spite of ourselves, we'll end up sitting on a rainbow. Against all odds, honey, we're the big door prize.
Oh. I mean, it really just makes me feel in my heart and my gut this way of like, we don't have to be perfect, but we can still be deserving of love. And that's a really powerful feeling.
It is.
Yeah.
Thank you to everybody who called us with a story. We had so many great ones. It was very difficult to choose. Also, we made a playlist. If you want to hear the songs featured in this episode, besides Baby Shark, and a couple other songs that might get stuck in your head, please go to our Spotify playlist at elt.show/earworm. And we'll put the link in the show notes as well. If you have a factual emergency that you cannot get to the bottom of, like you have tried Googling it and you still cannot get an answer, call us. 833-RING-ELT. 833-RING-ELT.
Every Little Thing is produced by Emily Rostek, Phoebe Flanagan, Annette Heist, and Flora Lichtman, with help from Nicole Pasulka and Doug Barron. Our consulting editors are Caitlin Kenny and Jorge Just. Mixed by Dara Hirsch. Scored by Dara Hirsch. I am deserving of love. Goodbye.